to start our program. Again, welcome. Let's beat the heat. That is this month's theme. I am your host, Sister Sharaka Melton, and we're going to get started with our opening prayer by our dear Sister Diane DeGraffery.
Good evening, sisters. Let us bow. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you once again. First of all, asking for forgiveness of my sins, known and unknown, whether in word, thought, or deed. Please create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me so that this prayer will not be hindered. I thank you for blessing us to see another beautiful day, for allowing us to be on the call tonight, and praying for all of our sisters that were not able, that they might be able to join us the next time. Heavenly Father, I come asking you to be with the sick and bereaved worldwide. Be with all of your children who are traveling, that they have safe travels to and from their destinations. And while they're away, please keep their families safe. Be with the leaders of our country, that they will come together and serve with love and respect for one another, looking to you for guidance. At this time, I am asking prayer for our speaker on tonight, that her lesson she has prepared on Let's Beat the Heat will not only bless us, but that we will remember the things we hear and apply them to our lives daily. Also be with all of our program participants. Thank you for all of our admins, our teams, team leaders, and our team members. Continue to bless all the endeavors of Lady Prayer Warriors, especially our upcoming 24-hour prayer-a-thon. If it's your will, and that we will give you all the praise. Heavenly Father, I ask that you please keep us united as spiritual sisters, showing love and compassion for one another. Bless all of us that we strive daily to be more Christ-like. These and all other thanks and prayers I humbly ask in your darling Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Diane, so much for that powerful prayer. Next, we're going to have a prison ministry salute by Sister Beverly White.
Good evening, sisters. I am blessed and proud to present our prison, sick, shut-in ministry salute on tonight. Sisters, we are part of this great ministry that dedicate our lives daily to caring for all that are sick, shut-in, incarcerated, and also to the ones that need a great word of comfort, love, and we are always thinking of you. We try to pick everyone up and to just make them feel good. We have started back on our road to uplift everyone in cards and letters, and they abundantly are hidden in the mailboxes to all the need words of comfort and reminders that the LPW are concerned about all. This great group is such a wonderful blessing for me, our members, and many around the world. All of our spirits are filled with kindness and cheer. In the month of May, 11 of our sisters made the contact with over 126 sisters through phone calls, cards, social media. What a great blessing. So far, the month of June, 86 cards have been sent. Letters are also going out again to those incarcerated. Sisters, the Prison Sick Shut-In Ministry, we pray, we reach out to everyone, we invite you to join our team. We send cards of cheer and sympathy. We overcome. We need our sisters. We meet monthly. We initiate tasks. We never shy away from a challenge. We interact with the incarcerated. We stay focused. We try our best. We yield to the Holy Spirit. We are a fine group of Christian Lady Prayer Warriors and invite you to join us. Sisters, on tonight, if you want to make someone life better, put a smile on their face, you can join our LPW Prison Sick and Shut-In Ministry. Please contact our beautiful team leader, Administrator Sister Jan Gooseby, and come on board this great ministry. Thank you, sisters. Have a great night.
Amen. Thank you so much for that beautiful, informative information on our prison ministry. Okay. Next, we're going to keep it rolling. We got to beat this heat. Our scripture reading is by Sister Lottie Holcomb.
Good evening, ladies. I'll be reading to you from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who rescues us from so great a danger of death and will rescue us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. I have read to you 2 Corinthians 1, verses 9 and 10. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. We are going to continue to beat the heat. We thank Sister Lottie for that beautiful reading of God's word. Now we are getting ready to have our song by Cynthia Watson.
Good evening, sisters. I'll be singing for you this evening, Victory in Jesus. I've heard an old old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior, forever. He sought me, he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Thank you so much for that beautiful song, Sister Cynthia Watson. Now, we're going to continue to beat the heat by introducing our speaker. We have our introduction of speaker by Sister Rosalind Boddy.
Good evening, sisters. Katrina Stafford was born and raised in Tifton, Georgia. She was added to the body of Christ on September 9, 2001, at the age of 22, under the leadership of the late Brother Zebedee Moore at the West Hill Church of Christ in Valdosta, Georgia. Katrina currently resides in Covington, Georgia. She attends Boulder Crest Church of Christ, where Brother Kevin Teemer serves as minister. Katrina has a strong passion for serving others. She knows her whole soul purpose is to serve others. She served in homeless shelter, and she prepared and served food for the needy in communities of Atlanta, Georgia. In 2017, she was afforded the opportunity to go on a mission trip to northern Haiti with Sister Shiraka Melton and Sister Narcissa Thompson. There, she was able to serve her brothers and sisters in Christ through prayers, Bible teachings, and administering food to families in need. In the near future, she wants to continue to serve others in places over the world, which includes Africa and Jerusalem, just to name a few. Katrina has been a Lady Prayer Warrior since 2005. She currently serves as the Senior Treasurer, and she is an active member of the Benevolence, Health, Welcome, and ESAF team. Lady Prayer Warriors has contributed to Katrina blossoming into the Christian woman she is today. Her prayer life has increased, and she has gained confidence in speaking publicly, which was something that she struggled with for many years. Her favorite scripture is Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me." She is a firm believer that God will provide if you have a desire to do His will. I would like to present to you Sister Katrina Stafford.
Hello, 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 sisters. I would like to take this time to thank you all for calling in on tonight. I know that your lives are busy and there's a lot of things that you could be doing on tonight, but you're here with us at our Friday night Bible series, and I would like to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I want to extend a special thanks to our first-time callers. I think that was Sister Judy. Please know, or if we have any other first-time callers, please know that you are our most honored guest, and we do not take your presence for granted. I also like to take the time out to thank all the admins for giving me this opportunity to speak on tonight. Also, I want to thank those who are participating on the program. I want to give a special thanks to our gracious host, Sister Shiraka Melton. Also, I want to thank Sister Diane DeGraffenreed for that powerful, powerful opening prayer. I also like to take the time out to thank our dear Sister Beverly Wright for our prison ministry. Excuse me, prison ministry salute. Thank you so much, Sister Beverly, for just letting us know what our prison ministry is about. Also, I want to thank Sister Lottie Holcomb for boldly reading God's word on tonight. Thank you once again, my dear Sister Cynthia Watson, for that song praise. You always know the right song, so I thank you so much. And I also want to thank our dear Sister Rosalind Boddy for accepting this invitation at the last minute to introduce me on tonight. Thank you so much, Sister Rosalind, for those kind words. And I want to thank our dear Sister Linda Newson in advance. She will be doing our closing prayer. All right, sisters. This month's theme is Let's Beat the Heat. During the summer, the sun beats down on the earth, causing extreme heat. Flowers wither away as water evaporates. The animals seek shade for relief. Humans take protective measures to avoid heat-related illnesses, such as drinking plenty of water. We like to drink a lot of water to make sure we're staying hydrated. Wearing light, loose-fitted clothing, using sun protection, and staying cool in an air-conditioned area. Well, about 2 years ago, my AC went out of my house. And for those who have experienced this, you know that this is an unbearable situation. At least it was for me. During those few days, I had to go without an AC.
Everything I did, it did not aid any relief from the heat in my house. I slept in light clothing, only to wake up in a pool of sweat. I slept with the windows open, but it was so hot and humid there was no breeze coming through. And I even used multiple fans, but they were only blowing out hot air and making my situation worse. Basically, the only solution that I had to cool my home was to get the air conditioner operating properly. So who do you call? Who do you call when you are going through some things, my sisters? Who do you think I called when my air conditioner wasn't working properly? Did I call my brother who never fixed the AC? No. Did I call my primary doctor who is only licensed to operate on my body? No. Or did I call a licensed AC repair professional? Well, I called the person who had the experience and the ability to fix my AC. So, sisters, when the rubber meets the road, when your trials are too much to handle, and when the heat turned up in your life, who are you going to call? I hope your answer is Jesus. He is the only one with the power to save you when you are faced with trials and tribulations. We are to rely on his power to get us through any trial, trials such as a sticky divorce, illness, loss of a loved one, job loss, or hateful persecutions. Relying on God's power is a part of your Christian life. One way we can rely on God's power is to remember all the things that he has done. Psalms 105, verses 4 through 5. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his wonders which he has done. Jesus fed multitudes. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed. We can find that in Mark 6, verses 41 through 44. Jesus walked on water, Matthew 14, verses 25 through 27. God rained bread from heaven. We can find that in Exodus 16, verse 4. And that reads, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people should go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them, whether or not they will walk in my instructions.'" My sisters, don't forget the things that God has done in your life and the miracles that he has performed. Secondly, we have to learn to trust God and to give him complete control. Psalms 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. God's power is perfected in our weakness. And that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. In the book of Joshua, we see how he stood hopeless before the walls of Jericho, but he learned to trust God's battle plan. When the heat turns up, you must go to God and his word. And trust, you don't look for God to take away the heat. You look for God to give you what you need to control the heat. Prayer is a vital part of relying on God's power. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and everyone who seeks, find, and to him who knocks, it will be open." Sisters, when the heat turns up, we have to commit to prayer and keep our eyes on God. Prayer changes things. How has prayer cooled down the heat in your life? My sisters, during life, you will get exhausted and drained. You may seem like, it may seem like life is just crumbling apart. Someone may say, "What now, Lord? I can't handle one more thing." Remember the servant Paul. Paul knew that God raised the dead. Therefore, he knew that he could help him. This is true for you too, sisters. The same power that raised Jesus is the same power available to you and me today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. Remember, when the heat turns up in your life, God has the power to cool you off. You have to trust him, obey his word, and pray so that you do not get consumed by the heat. Now, when the heat turns up in our lives and we refuse to use God's power, you can develop many symptoms, such as anger. According to the Oxford Dictionary, anger is a strong feeling of annoyance, displeasure, or hostility. All anger doesn't lead to sin, only when your anger becomes uncontrollable. Someone may be asking, when is anger a sin? Jesus was angry. Yes, my sisters, Jesus did get angry. Jesus had a righteous anger, Matthew 21:12. And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple. And he overturned the tables of money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. Jesus was angry because God's temple was used as a house of merchandise. His desire was to drive out idolatry, which is a sin against God. Therefore, Jesus' anger was justified as righteous because he was standing up for God. Unlike the reasons we get angry when we are disrespected, when we are violated, or simply when we just want to have our way. This type of anger damages the heart and leads to sin. If you have your Bibles, let's go over to Genesis 4, verses 1 through 8. And it reads, "Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, 'I have obtained a male child with the help of the Lord.' And again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the flocks, but Cain was a cultivator of the ground. So it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord from the fruit of the ground. And Abel on his part also brought an offering from the firstborn of his flock and from their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Then the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is for you. You must master it.'" Verse 8, "Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him." This passage depicts how Cain's anger fueled to bitterness, which led to murder. When we are consumed by anger, it can destroy our rational reasoning or thinking. Therefore, let us not make excuses for our anger. "But God, I was good to this man. I cooked his food, cleaned the house, took care of his kids, and he left me for another woman. I have the right to be angry." Even then, the Bible tells us in Colossians 3, "But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. But God, I was abused as a child. Anger is all I know. Colossians 3:8. Put it aside. But God, I am the best worker this job has. My manager's always showing favoritism, and my coworker doesn't even complete all her assignments. You just don't understand. Colossians 3:8. Put it aside. Oh, how's she just going to cut in line when I've been standing here 20 minutes? Who she thinks I am? Colossians 3:8. Put it aside. Sisters, we don't need to go to anger management class or see a counselor. Let's remember what Paul said in Colossians 3:18. Put it all aside. Sisters, there is good news for those who are seeking help. God's word provides the cure. You can take a dosage of Psalms 37:8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Then take another dosage of Ephesians 4:26. Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Also grab two dosages if needed of Proverbs 14:29. He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. Now, some of us are going to experience the symptoms of depression when the heat turns up in our lives. So according to the Oxford Dictionary, depression is the state of feeling sad and without hope. Sisters, when you are going through trials or tribulations, you may experience depression. Someone may be battling with depression now. I know there's a times when you feel like you're the only one struggling. It's easy to feel that way. However, did we ever stop to think that there are many Bible characters who dealt with depression? How did they deal with depression? Truth of the matter, God knows more about depression than any psychologist, psychiatrist, minister, or friend in this world. If you still have your Bibles, let's take a look at God's servant Jeremiah. If you have heard of Jeremiah, you may know him to be called the weeping prophet. Jeremiah saw the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and his people was led to exile. Jeremiah was so depressed, he wrote the book of his sorrows called Lamentations. Lamentations 2:11. My eyes fall because of tears. My spirit is greatly troubled. My heart is poured out on the earth because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. When little ones and infants faint in the streets of the city. Sisters, someone on this line tonight may feel like Jeremiah. You cried so much that you felt there was no tears left to cry. Now, you see, my sisters, Jeremiah suffered the feeling of defeat, felt the feeling of being defected, deserted, and deprived. Now, these are some of the characteristics that are displayed in our lives when we go through depression. However, there is great news. In Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 23, reads, this I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. See, my sisters, there was hope for Jeremiah, and guess what? There is hope for me and you. When the heat turns up, we may not understand our circumstances, but we have to leave the matters in the hand of God who loves and cares for his children. God doesn't want his children to experience depression. He understands what we go through. He is so merciful, gracious, and he emphasizes when we are faced with trials and tribulations. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Even in depression, Jesus is our ultimate healer. Through his words, you are prescribed some medications that can remove depression. When the heat turns up in your life, you can take a dosage of John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Also, sisters, don't forget your dosage of Nehemiah 8:10. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is strength. If your symptoms still persist, don't hesitate to take some Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Sisters, cry out to God in prayer when you are depressed, and focus on the truth in His Word. He will wipe every tear from your eyes. Now, when the heat turns up in your life, someone may experience the symptom of pain and suffering. According to the Cambridge Dictionary, pain is a feeling of physical suffering caused by injury, illness, emotional, or mental suffering. Pain and suffering are symptoms that we may experience when the heat turns up in our lives. Everything we experience, from illness, injuries, injustice, and immoralities, are results of this sinful world. We all should know that pain and suffering were not a part of God's plan, because when He created the earth, He wanted it to be in perfect harmony with the character of His nature. Now, in the beginning of God's creation, pain and suffering did not exist. There were no illness or injuries. Adam and Eve were created perfectly. However, God gave them free will with the ability to make choices, and they chose to be disobedient to God and eat from the forbidden fruit. As a result, their perfect union was broken with God, and the world was filled with sin and darkness. At this point, evil, sickness, disease, and death entered the world along with pain and suffering. So as a result of Adam and Eve's sin, we are fallen creatures living in a fallen world, and we are all subject to the consequences of our sins and that of others. Accidents, diseases, and death do not discriminate. But God is still loving, merciful, kind, good, and perfect in His way. Psalms 117:2. For His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Therefore, He will not allow us to suffer without making provisions for us to deal with the situation. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Sisters, this simply means that God will not keep us from pain and suffering, but He will hold us and care for us in the midst of our pain. Now, in the midst of our suffering, certain questions remain irresistible. We ask questions like, where are you, God? Why does a loving God allow something so horrible to happen to me? What did I do wrong to be punished like this? Perhaps you thought that God didn't care. Let's consider Jesus, who suffered the ultimate sacrifice. Jesus was spit on, beaten up, nailed to a piece of wood, humiliated, and lifted up for all to see. Then He was speared. Jesus endured torture on that cross. People taunted Him. Jesus saying, save yourself, come down from the cross if you are the Son of God. We can read about this in Matthew 27:39-40. He saved others, but he can't save himself. Some mock a suffering and dying Jesus. Verse 42. Jesus' suffering and death expose a world of unfairness. Jesus was not exempt from suffering, even though he was a just and perfect man. Jesus came to share the suffering of the world and to free us from the slavery of sin, Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So who are we to question God and his motives? Sisters, we all will experience pain in life, whether it's emotional or physical pain. No pain is alike. We must walk all the journeys and paths that God has for our life. The pain that God allows in our life is purposeful. The heat is not intended to destroy us. It is used to conform us into the character of Christ. Therefore, we must press on knowing that our God loves us and wants us to use the hurt and pain in this world to bring him glory. Please understand the purpose of pain and find the joy in the middle of suffering, Romans 8:18. For I consider the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 1 Peter 5:10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. As the heat of pain circumstances rise in our lives, know that the Lord will not forsake you. He will prescribe the right medication to ease your pain, Revelation 21:4, and he will wipe away every tear from your eye. There will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourself also for the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin. Now, sisters, some of us may have the symptom of anxiety. We live in times of anxiety, which we consider critical times, hard to deal with. 2 Timothy 3:1. Anxiety can be described as an excessive concern for health issues, death, financial problems, relationship problems, and etc. Realistically, there isn't anything wrong with dealing with crisis in our lives. However, we must not engage in excessive anxiety or worriness. When the heat is too much to handle, how do you deal with anxiety? Do you lose sleep over a bill you couldn't pay? Do you wonder how you're going to live without the loved one that has passed away? Do you get nervous about medical test results? How do you feel? Were you torn? If you was torn, you definitely were experiencing anxiety, because anxiety tears us apart. It will have your body in one direction and your mind somewhere else, causing a lot of tension and sleeplessness. Anxiety, worry causes us to work against ourselves and hinders our relationship with God. When we put God first, he will take care of our daily needs and keep us from worry and anxiety, Matthew 6:34. Therefore, my sisters, when the heat turns up, there is nothing to fear. In Matthew Chapter 8:23-27, we see how Jesus calms the storm. A fierce storm hit the ship, and it caused it to sink. But he was asleep. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are about to die." Jesus asked, "Why are you so afraid? Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Jesus got up and ordered the winds and the waves to stop, and there was a great calm. All were amazed. They said, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obeyed him?" This passage depicts what Jesus can do in our lives when we are distressed. However, we must turn it over to God, who knows everything and who is in control, Psalm 68:20. We must count on the Lord to provide for our needs, to protect us from evil, to guide us, and to keep our souls secure. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 instructs us to not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, would guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 8, we learn about the prophet named Gideon, who was appointed by God to save Israel from the Midianites. An angel sent by God appeared upon Gideon and said, "The Lord is with you." Gideon was quick to ask the angel. He said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And why are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hands of the Midians." From his response, we can see how weak his faith was. Instead of accepting the words of the angel, he doubted. The Lord replied and told him he would save Israel from the Midianites. But Gideon fearfully reasoned with God and said, "Oh Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least of the Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." Then the Lord said, "Surely I will be with you." Sisters, what has God called you to do? If you are a Lady Prayer Warrior, you have been commanded to pray for others. September 18, 2021, we need all Lady Prayer Warriors to participate in the 24-hour prayer-a-thon. This is your opportunity to pray for the lost and save souls. What arguments are you going to make to the Lord? Are you going to say, "Oh, Lord, I couldn't possibly do that. Look, God, I don't have the strength, the voice, or the time to be praying for anybody else. I'm sure there are some more qualified sisters than I am." Oh, my Lord, Lady Prayer Warriors are doing too much. Sisters, God calls us to step out of our comfort zone. In our weaknesses, he is strong. Our God is more than able. God is able. God equips us to do exactly what he has called us to do. Sisters, I am a living testimony. I can remember years back when Sister Sharaka used to ask me to host prayer calls. I would tell her in these exact words, "Girl, you know I don't do that." And she would say in these words, "Girl, what you mean? You supposed to pray for your sisters in Christ?" My reply, "I do pray, but I'm not praying out loud on no prayer call. I'm not going to be praying out loud so that those people can talk about how I pray. That's not going to happen." Sisters, I had a fear of speaking publicly, and to be honest, you probably can hear it on tonight, I still do. But I realized that in order for me to please God, I had to submit to his will whether I wanted to or not, because as a Christian, we are commanded to pray for others, James 5:16. It didn't come overnight. I prayed about it, then I did it. And once I did it, I was like, wow, I did that? This little country girl straight out of Tifton, Georgia did that? Wow. I was able to face my fears. Sisters, it wasn't me. It was God. When he tells you to do something, you better do it. If you have any doubt about praying in a 24-hour prayer sign, remember what God told Gideon, Judges 6:16. Surely I will be with you. When you lose your job, remember what God said. I will be with you. When you're feeling like giving up, remember what God said. I will be with you. Just like God was with Gideon, and he went on to defeat the Midianites, God is with Katrina, and God is with you. When we put our trust in God and obey his word, he will deliver. Sisters, this concludes my lesson on tonight. I hope and pray that there was something that was said to encourage you and aid you in beating the heat. But before I leave, I must warn you that the symptoms mentioned above is not an all-inclusive list of the symptoms you may experience when the heat is turned up in your life. Please seek God's immediate attention if you are experiencing any symptoms. These symptoms are life-threatening, and if they go untreated, it could result in eternal death. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Let's beat the heat if you didn't show out tonight. Woo! Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a powerful, beautiful lesson. I'm going to really cut my comments short because you showed out. All right. So we're going to continue on with our closing prayer by Sister Linda Newsom. Sister Linda, before you pray, I'm just asking that you remember traveling grace for Sister Kathy Mackey. Bridges White is ill, and pray for Natissa's family if you can, please. After Sister Linda Newsom, we will have comments and remarks. Thank you.
Praise the mighty name of Christ Jesus. Sisters, let's pray. My most gracious Father God of heaven, I come to you, Father God, with a humble heart, thanking you, loving you, adoring everything in your creation, Father God, praising, honoring, glorying you. And Father God, as our lives and our words be a witness to your goodness and your grace, as all accolades go up to you. I come now repenting of my sins and words, thoughts, and deeds, Father God, that this prayer not be forgotten, hindered, or lost on my behalf. Father God, coming right now, praying for traveling grace for Sister Kathy Mackey. Father God, just give her the know-it-all, to just be ease that you will be on that road with her. Father God, and we know that you will. Father God, you never allow us to attempt to do something that we can't be able to get through. Thank you, Father God. Sister Bridges Elaine White, with her illness, the pain that she's going through with, Father God, nothing new under the sun. Father God, but please bless her to get through it. Father God, I thank you, and we thank you. And Father God, just continue to keep each and every one of us. Father God, to ask her whether that the different states are going through, those that have financial issues, personal trials, sick to shut in, Father God, and all illnesses, diseases, COVID-19, anything that wreaks havoc on these bodies on a daily basis. Father God, we all experience adversity, disappointments, and hardships. But Father God, as human beings, we have limited insight, and we can never completely comprehend the will of our Father, which is in heaven. So, Father God, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. We truly do not deserve it at all. But, Father God, thank you for privileging it to us freely and unconditionally. Father God, thank you for all things. And Father God, this powerful lesson that we've heard on tonight from our Sister Katrina Stafford, the speaker, Father God, you being her. She being your mouthpiece on tonight, Father God, that we could adhere to some of what was being said and use in our daily lives. Father God, praying just for the sick, the afflicted, the poor, the needy, the hungry, the blind. Father God, those that have, the have not. Those that are homeless, not homeless. Those that in hospitals, bedridden. Whatever all entails with sickness, Father God, please cover them in a mighty way. Father God, in the bereaved, those that are grieving for present loss, past loss, Father God, cover them in a mighty way. Father God, give them the peace that only you can give them and comfort them as only you can. Father God, please cover each and every one of us on call tonight, all our visitors, first-time callers, speaker, all on program, our gracious host. Father God, we cannot thank you enough for her and all our administrators, plus assistants, Father God. As you lay hold hand on them, Father God, they be able to lay hold on us with many blessings that are coming. As we say, the prayers go up, blessings are coming down from the later prayer administrators and assistants. And Father God, we can't thank you enough for them. Father God, and going forward, if there is anything that I have forgotten, Father God, please allow the Holy Spirit to intercede. Father God, this prayer prayed in the mighty name of your gracious, wonderful Son's name, our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, I ask it all. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, our dear Sister Linda Newsom, for that powerful, powerful closing prayer.